Okay, here is Christmas at the Mansion.
Oh, I just love Christmas.
Solange beamed as she, Rosie, and Timothy, and Elizabeth bustled in the front door of the mansion. Servants behind them staggered under a load of bags. They'd been out shopping all day and were rosy-cheeked and smiling. They all loved to shop, especially Timothy, who could find many ways to cause mischief undiscovered while his mother, aunt, and sister were looking at boring articles of clothing. It was close to dinner time, and most of the mansionites were milling about in the great room near the dining hall. Lady Fanshawe was ensconced on a 17th century straight-backed antique chair, primly knitting Christmas stockings. Richard and Quentin were playing chess in front of the enormous roaring fireplace. Jamie was wrestling on the floor with all four quadruplets, who seemed to regard him as their giant plaything. Shallow was curled up on an overstuffed brown leather couch, working on her Christmas quilt. And William was at the other end, reading a very strange book. The pictures on the front almost seemed to move around at times. Solange smiled at this vision of domestic peace in front of her. They had all made the right decision to stay, she thought. She was enjoying life without worrying what Henry was up to. Being single suited her fine, just fine, and she did not care how Quentin looked up at her and grinned, nor did she care how he held her glance just a few seconds too long.
"Ha ha! Checkmate, old boy!"
Sir Richard crowed triumphantly.
"What?"
Quentin took his eyes away from Solange and stared at the board.
"Didn't see that coming, did you? Snuck right up on you, didn't I?"
Richard was as self-satisfied as he could be. He could count on beating Quentin possibly twice a year, and then he suspected it was because he felt sorry for him.
"You old bastard," growled Quentin. "No, I definitely didn't see it coming. Good show." "And I believe I hear the dinner bell. Come along, everyone, come along!"
Beaming and sniffing the air at the delightful smell of cranberry-glazed ham, Richard strode out towards the dining hall. Elizabeth swished past Quentin with her usual insolent glare. Rosie and Timothy followed her, quarreling over whose pet was better than whose. Timothy was inordinately fond of his fat orange cat, and Rosie found her new chihuahua to be the most perfect animal on earth. Jamie picked up two quadruplets under each arm and followed Shala out with his usual moonstruck expression on his face.
"Having fun spending old Alfred's money," Quentin teased Solange.
"Yes, I am. He was always so stingy, and now I can buy all the presents I want."
"What are you getting for me?"
he asked her, trying to appear serious. Solange had never bought him a Christmas present. Henry would have been most displeased.
"I think I'll get you Emily Post's book on manners."
She softened this remark by looking up at him coyly.
"Good. There's nothing more satisfying than throwing a book. And I'm rather fond of the ones I have."
He smiled at her.
"And what do you want for Christmas?"
Solange appeared nonplussed, and then she glanced around the room, noticing they were now quite alone.
"Oh, I don't know. Well, I have everything I want, I suppose."
"Do you?"
He looked at her very seriously. They both knew he wasn't talking about presents. Solange bit her lower lip. She had done such a good job of being distantly friendly and avoiding him since the near fiasco on the plane.
"Let's go to dinner,"
she responded breathlessly. He was standing much too close to her.
"You didn't answer my question."
"I don't know. Stop bothering me."
She stomped off, feeling thoroughly confused. The new seating arrangement, which had caused such fussing in the early days, was now taken for granted. Jamie was in his usual spot to the right of his father, but Rosie was at his left and Timothy beside Jamie.
"Aren't you afraid we'll kill each other?"
Rosie had mumbled to Quentin when she saw she and Jamie had been sat across from each other.
"Not at all. You're both within arm's reach."
Solange was next to Rosie, which put her closer to Quentin than she would have liked, but he had merely casually mentioned that he thought she wouldn't want to sit down by Henry anymore and would prefer to be by her children. As this was quite true, she had not protested other than to tell him,
"Don't think you're fooling me,"
which had only made him laugh. Loretta was protected from impulsive Elizabeth anger outbursts by sitting between Timothy and Lady Fanshawe and across the table from Shala, who was next to Solange. Despite her good Christian woman speech and concern over her financial future, Elizabeth often gave Loretta threatening glances when she thought no one else was looking. Loretta, for her part, had ostensibly forgiven Solange for her brief 20-year affair with Quentin, but there was still quite a bit of coldness in her demeanor. Carmine was at Shala's side and Sir Richard at Lady Fanshawe's. Quentin had staved off trouble for Victor by positioning Elizabeth across from William, who seemed to be able to mysteriously stop thrown objects or block punches and kicks toward him, and next to Henry. Rosie sat in on Jamie, as she did every night at dinner.
"We've been on this for 2 months now, Jamie. It's time to buck up and do it."
"I will, I will," Jamie always whined the same response, "when I'm ready."
"You're a great bloody coward. I'm telling you, it's going to be brilliant." I'll go with you, Jamie,
added Timothy helpfully. I'm not scared. I don't need my little brother to go with me.
I wish you'd do whatever it is, Jamie, because we're all quite tired of hearing the same conversation, snapped Quentin.
Just because you don't have any patience with them doesn't mean no one else does, replied Solange tartly, digging into her custard with relish.
Do you want to hear them argue about this for another 2 months?
Well, no. Just leave him alone, Rosie. Whatever it is, he'll do it when he's ready.
Jamie seemed to take this as another dig at his lack of bravery.
Fine, we'll go tomorrow, he screeched.
Uncle Quentin, when do we put out the tree?
Timothy bounced excitedly in his chair. This was the highlight of the season for him, not merely because the tree was enormous and exquisitely beautiful, but because Quentin considered it a family duty for everyone to help with the trimming, and there were always fights, tears, and plenty of drama.
Oh, I do love putting up the tree.
Solange adored Christmas above all else. It was one reason Quentin had always decked the hall, so to speak, because he rather liked Christmas himself, though he never would have admitted to it, and insisted on Christmas traditions being upheld. The Mansionites had to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas program, because this was Solange's favorite, and the original Christmas Carol, which was Quentin's, in the movie room, and it was always a festive event. The servants dressed in their finest livery of red and gold throughout the month of December, and every inch of the first floor was decorated to perfection. They had a carol singing night in which everyone participated, willingly or not. Christmas cookie baking was done the night of the tree trimming, which was a mandatory event. And on Christmas Eve, Richard dressed as Father Christmas, and everyone chose one special present to open. The main present opening affair occurred the following morning, which was always bedlam.
What about tomorrow night? Quentin glanced at Solange.
That would be great, burst out Solange and Timothy together. Rosie and Jamie shook their heads at each other, as if embarrassed by all the fuss. At 21, they had to keep up the pretense that they found all this Christmassy stuff very silly indeed.
Tomorrow it is, replied Quentin.
Hey! Henry was attempting to stuff Kenny under the table where he could kick him without being seen.
Tomorrow's tree trimming tonight. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Everyone is expected to be there, he added threateningly.
Oh, we will, beamed Solange, Timothy, Sir Richard, Lady Fanshawe, Loretta, and Shala, who all enjoyed this particular tradition. Bugger off, mumbled Victor, Henry, Kenny, and Carmine, who would much rather have been partying on the 17th floor with a lot of women, alcohol, and various illegal substances. I guess we have no choice, snapped Rosie and Jamie in unison, although both were secretly looking forward to it. Breakfast the next morning did not go very well. Quentin arrived in quite a cheerful frame of mind. He was actually humming God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen under his breath. He knew the tree trimming would make Solange very happy, and that she always had a few eggnogs, which boded well for at least some flirtatious banter. Jamie entered appearing as sullen as Quentin thought he had ever seen him. I do believe he's the most sullen person on earth, he thought to himself with amusement. Rosie had a triumphant gleam in her eye, which generally heralded some sort of disaster, and Timothy was cavorting about as if he were in on some giant secret, which Quentin presumed he probably was.
So we're going today, right?
Rosie immediately pounced on Jamie.
Yes, I said we would.
Please let me come! Please let me come! Please let me come! Burst out Timothy.
No, you little brat! Shouted Jamie surprisingly.
He had been distinctively more pleasant to Timothy since finding out he was his younger half-brother. Timothy appeared hurt and began kicking randomly at the table legs. Solange appeared in her pink silk bathrobe. Her hair was mussed and she looked very tired and cranky. Quentin continued his humming and looked up from his paper.
Timothy! Stop that kicking this instant! She snapped.
Now, this is just sad, Rosie announced. Quentin is the most cheerful one here.
No one asked you, Rosie,
her mother replied shortly. Quentin knew Solange was always very irritable when she had lack of sleep, and he peered at her with concern.
Didn't you sleep well? Are you feeling okay?
I am fine,
Solange hissed and turned rudely away from him. Actually, she had not slept at all. She had spent the whole night tossing and turning and thinking of how much she wanted to go down to Quentin's floor and crawl into his bed.
Well, I'm just horny, she thought. It has nothing to do with him. I just need to find a boyfriend. Someone who will not boss me around or break my heart, she added to herself firmly. I can see that, being ever so charming, replied Quentin and threw down his paper.
Timothy, stop kicking the damn table!
Sorry,
mumbled Timothy in a voice, which made it clear that he was, indeed, not the slightest bit remorseful. Just then, Elizabeth hurried in, yanking Victor behind her. She was loudly bellowing a stream of directions at him, apparently giving him his itinerary for the day.
"Can you ever leave that man alone?" barked Quentin.
Victor gave him a rather astonished look.
Who asked you, you great overgrown dog? This was too much. Quentin leapt to his feet and Elizabeth snapped her mouth shut, knowing she had gone too far. I've had quite enough of your insults, you fucking bitch! This was not a word anyone had heard Quentin use. They all looked up with interest. William and Victor were particularly pleased. They had hopeful looks on their faces. Now see here! See here! Richard had come in the room just in time to hear Quentin call his daughter a fucking bitch. She deserved it, Grandpa, shouted Jamie, Rosie, and Timothy in unison. Quentin appeared surprised and somewhat pleased at this unexpected show of support.
I do not approve of profanity.
Sorry if you were offended, Richard, Quentin immediately responded, but made no such apology to Elizabeth.
You are all about to make my bloody head explode. I'm going back to bed, yelled Solange,
and throwing down her buttered biscuit, jumped to her feet.
And deprive us of your company, Quentin responded dryly.
You shut up!
Sounding rather like Jamie with this statement, Solange stomped out of the room. There was a general burst of shouting as everyone at the table began blaming everyone else for this uncharacteristic behavior. No one noticed when Rosie motioned to Jamie, and he, grimacing horribly, slouched behind her out of the room. Solange returned to bed, threw her robe on the floor, climbed back into bed, and promptly burst into tears. Who was she kidding? She was happy to be done with Henry, that was true, but she couldn't really say she was happy. Despite her earlier protests to herself, she really had no interest in going out to stupid parties and trying to meet a man. It would never be the same anyway, as with... She cried until her head began hurting. It was Christmas, and she did not want to get depressed, especially not about all that old stuff. It's just hormones, she told herself. I'm probably perimenopausal. Why do I feel all brokenhearted? Besides, he had a horrible temper. He was much too bossy. She really didn't care, and that was that. There was a knock on her door, which she imagined to be Rosie or Tim.
Come in,
she said hastily, blowing her nose. It was Quentin, who stood in the doorway in his rolled-up shirt sleeves, looking frazzled.
Did you come up here to make more comments about my behavior?
Solange snapped and threw her coverlet around herself.
No, just to see if you were all right, and to tell you something interesting.
Oh, what?
Solange loved good gossip.
One of the butlers informed me he heard Jamie telling Rosie they'd leave after cookie baking, and they were taking his car.
Solange gasped.
What? Is he sure?
Quite sure. What do you think they're up to?
Well, they would never do anything together in public.
She and Quentin both exchanged looks of utter bewilderment.
Why were you crying? This abrupt change of subject took Solange off guard.
Because my head was hurting.
I think your head was hurting because you were crying.
Why is it any of your concern?
I can't stand it when you cry, Solange, and you know it.
No, I don't know it, Quentin. I don't know anything.
Don't you remember anything I told you on the plane?
Well, some things.
She blushed.
You insisted I tell you just what I thought of you.
Yes, and you said it wasn't the time.
Oh, she doesn't remember, he thought, inexplicably relieved.
You don't remember? After I said that you kept on and I did tell you.
Well, then remind me what you said.
Quentin considered this. He could put all his cards on the table, so to speak. But there was a great risk she would give him some dreadful, pitying look and tell him she cared for him only as a friend. She hadn't been anything but distantly polite since they returned from Chicago anyway.
Why is it always me that's supposed to be rattling off my inner secrets? He snapped. You're much better at talking about feelings than I am.
Oh, who knows if you even have any?
She replied irritably. Of course he won't tell me. He doesn't care anything about me anymore. Why am I so bloody stupid? She suddenly felt quite miserable indeed.
Why don't you just go on?
By this time, Quentin was glaring at her. Really, why did she have to be so difficult? Hadn't he come up here to see her, even though she was behaving dreadfully?
I will be quite happy to go on, he shouted and sprang off the bed.
Don't shout at me,
she screeched as he headed for the door.
Well, don't be so damn unreasonable then,
he slammed the door behind him. Childishly, Solange found she must have the last word and screamed after him.
And don't come back either.
She felt rather satisfied for a moment. Then the door was kicked back open and he stomped in.
I'll go wherever I want to my own bloody house.
Get out of my room!
She began hurling all the objects she could find on her bedside table. Unfortunately, one of them was a picture frame with large, sharp, metallic edges. This clipped him briskly on the forehead and a gash appeared, which began bleeding rather briskly.
Do you want to just kill me? Shall I go get my hunting rifle? He said calmly. The pain had distracted him from his anger, and her coverlet had slipped off her shoulders and exposed her rather sheer pink nightgown, which was even more distracting.
No, I don't know what's wrong with me.
He grinned at her. Apparently the whole situation seemed rather amusing. Solange, do you remember the last time you threw something at me from your bedside table?
No, I don't throw things. I've never thrown anything at you. I don't know why.
Yes, you have. It was when you were in labor with the twins, and it was a white princess phone. He laughed. I was quite afraid of my life, actually.
Oh, no, you were not, she replied sullenly.
This made him laugh more.
And I don't want you to get your own rifle. You'd probably shoot me.
No, you're much too cute.
Come here and let me look at your head,
she demanded. He obediently sat down beside her on the bed.
I'd better call Dr. O'Malley. This needs stitches.
I'll go see him myself. Don't worry about it. He gazed at her with a smoldering glance. She really was much too close, and that damn nightgown.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I am.
And before she could stop herself, she leaned over and kissed him. He stared at her with the intense and dangerous look. That was quite the wrong thing to do, if you want me to go on. He leaned over her until she fell back on the pillow, kissing her fiercely, and she ran her fingers through his hair and moaned. The sound of quarreling children was heard coming down the hallway, and Quentin sat back up just as Rosie and Timothy entered the doorway.
Mother, Timothy's been in my room without permission, and he...
They both stopped in the doorway. Quentin had a dazed expression on his face, and Solange still had her lips parted. They were both obviously trying to catch their breath. Timothy appeared quite interested in this, but Rosie looked horrified.
What are you two up to? Where's your head bleeding, Quentin?
Well, your mother enjoys hurling objects at me.
She has blood on her face, too. Did you throw something at her?
Of course not. He stood up and grinned at Rosie. That's because she kissed me. I suppose I'm rather irresistible to her.
Quentin!
Solange burst out furiously.
Really? Are you going to shag him, Mum?
Timothy said with glee.
Timothy!
Solange turned bright red and Rosie giggled. Ooh, you are going to be sorry, she thought to herself angrily as she glared at Quentin, quite annoyed at being embarrassed in front of her children.
Well, I'm going to go get my head stitched. Don't forget about the cookie baking, Solange. You missed the announcement. We're going to start at 1.
Suppose I don't want to,
she replied sullenly.
Well, you must. You know you're the only one that can make the dough recipe properly.
This was quite true. The other Mansionites had never bothered to learn to cook, but Solange had studied the culinary arts while at finishing school in France, and now and then she would go to the kitchens and whip up amazing gourmet treats for the group.
Quit telling me what I must. You are the bossiest person on the planet.
Rosie and Timothy were watching this exchange with amusement, which only annoyed Solange further.
Well, that may be, but you're still going,
Quentin replied cheerfully. Besides, I'm sure the kids want you to be there.
We do, Mom. You have to come, Mom. Fine, then,
she replied so sweetly that Quentin looked startled. She's plotting some revenge, he thought with interest.
Excellent. I'll see you all there.
Quentin carefully stepped over a few objects that had landed and broken on the floor.
You two will have to speak to your mother about her temper.
He gave her his quick grin and strode out before she could think of a reply. The annual Christmas cookie baking had actually been started by Solange when Jamie and Rosie were 3, and had evolved into a ritual in which all the servants were banished from the kitchens, and a 15-foot table set up where everyone could create their own cookies. The usual table seating did not apply, which always caused mayhem to occur. Solange worked from a counter beside them, making the dough, which was then passed around to the eager recipients for shaping and decorating. Different persons had been put in charge of actually placing the dough in the ovens for baking, but those up to the task fell by attrition each year. Richard had burned his hands. Victor had reeked of so much alcohol he caused an explosion when he approached the heat. Rosie had caught her oven mitts on fire. Loretta stated the oven terrified her. Shallow was too busy shepherding her children. Henry had dropped the sheet of cookies before even getting to the oven. Kenny had mournfully stated ovens reminded him of the cremation of his dead grandmother. Lady Fanshawe felt it quite beneath her station to deal with stoves. Jamie declared it was women's work, and Timothy had a general all-purpose lifetime ban from any oven at any time. Quentin finally decided he was the only one who could be trusted with this task, and the tradition had stayed this way ever since.
In the middle of the table were large bowls of sprinkles, stars, food coloring, icing, and edible glitter, along with a generous assortment of cookie cutters of all sizes. The adults were also allowed to use scalpel blades. This had been Timothy's idea, but it worked quite well, to custom cut their own shapes. Every year there was a vote by the cook, the only person who could be counted on to be objective, as to who had created the best Christmas cookie. This was a most coveted award. The group excitedly milled around the table at 15 till 1. Everyone was planning what type of cookies they would make and bragging to each other about how theirs would definitely win this year. They had all worn old jeans and t-shirts and pulled on the red aprons that were stacked on a chair near the table. Rosie was somewhat surprised when William approached her, smiling. He looked rather silly in the apron and held out his arms and shrugged as if to indicate he realized this.
"Don't worry. Look how goofy my grandfather looks," Rosie told him with a giggle. "It doesn't even fit him. It's going to burst off."
"Now, we'll go over the rules." Quentin always started with this, and the usual murmuring of dissent was heard.
"Why don't you have to wear a smock?"
Carmine blurted out rudely.
"I'm not making cookies. I'm putting them in and out of the oven. Now, listen up. Listen up!"
No one was ever silent until he started shouting.
"No one goes near the oven but me. No one uses the scalpel blades but the adults, and they're only used on the dough. No one is to throw any dough or anything else. No fighting, screaming, pinching, shoving, or shouting."
"Well, you're shouting,"
muttered Kenny sullenly. The 5 Oxycontins he had taken beforehand had not kicked in yet.
"Where's Solange?"
It was 5 till 1, and everyone began to murmur. They wanted their dough made so they could begin their artistic creations. Solange entered the doorway with a mischievous smile on her face that was reminiscent of her youngest son, the 5th Earl of Cumberland.
"Solange, whatever are you thinking? You look a dreadful slut," bellowed Elizabeth.
"I say, Missy, go and put some clothes on," roared her father.
"Mom, honestly!"
This was Rosie. Henry, Kenny, and Carmine all let out wolf whistles. Solange was wearing the tightest, lowest-cut white t-shirt known to man. The edges of her red lace push-up bra were visible to all, along with a bountiful amount of cleavage. Her honey brown hair was pulled up in a sexy tousled pile with curls hanging around her face, and she wore a micro-mini denim skirt with black lace tights and high black strappy pointed shoes with red rubies forming a heart shape at each pointed end. "So this is the route she's going," thought Quentin to himself. With great difficulty, he gave her a very unimpressed gaze.
"So, you're finally here, are you? Everyone's waiting on you," he snapped.
"Are they? I'm so sorry."
She brushed up against him and replied in her breathless and coquettish voice. Everyone turned away and began spreading flour across the wooden table, fighting over who would get what amount of space. Solange went around to the other side of the counter, where vats of flour, sugar, butter, spices, and other ingredients had been left out for her by the cook. The ovens were on this side of the counter as well. Quentin used this as an excuse to come stand behind her.
"So, you think this is going to bother me?"
he leaned down and whispered in her ear.
"Quite the opposite, actually."
"We'll see," replied Solange airily. "Let's see, it's 1 o'clock. You'll be shouting at me before 1:15.
"I certainly will not."
"Hurry up with the dough!" everyone screamed.
Within 5 minutes, Solange had mixed up the first batch of dough. It was taken to the table, where multiple hands began grabbing it at once.
"I want the Christmas tree shape! Give it to me, Jamie, you prat!
Hand me that blue food coloring, old chap, I say!
For God's sake, don't let Victor use a scalpel blade!"
"Wow, look at those fucking sparkles!"
Kenny's Oxycontin had kicked in. William had sat next to Rosie on the long, narrow benches, and they both began to roll out dough.
"I am definitely going to win this year,"
Rosie announced stubbornly. She never won the cookie baking contest, which greatly displeased her. William grinned at her and pushed his dark blonde bangs out of his eyes. "There's something different about him," she mused, but couldn't think of what it was. She never paid a great deal of attention to him.
"Got any ideas?"
"No, I'm horrible. I can't make any shapes.
She looked over at Quentin and suddenly remembered the drawing she'd seen of her mother.
"Quentin!"
she called out in her most pseudo-sweet voice.
"Yes, Rosie?"
"Will you come help me for a minute?"
"Sure.
Anything to get him away from Solange, he decided. He really was getting annoyed with her now. She kept purposefully dropping ingredients on the floor and bending over in front of him to pick them up. It felt like the temperature in the room had been turned up 20 degrees.
I really want to win this contest,
Rosie hissed to him when he came and stood behind her and William.
Can't you cut me out of shape? Well, I don't know, something cool.
She looked at William frantically. Hogwarts, said William, without thinking.
Oh, yeah, perfect. The Hogwarts castle. Can you do it?
Sure. Quentin picked up the scalpel blade, and in 30 seconds had outlined an exact replica of the outline of the Hogwarts castle, turrets and towers included. Let William help you decorate it. He gave William a wink. He knew Rosie had definitely not inherited his artistic abilities. William found himself getting interested in this.
Here, there's a banner over here. We need that red and gold icing for Gryffindor. And the Slytherin banner's over here. Give me some green icing, Tim.
I'll put those green sparkles around the bottom for the grass.
Yeah, it's a little thicker than that. Wow, that sucked. Yeah, it's a little thicker than that around the castle doors.
She clapped her hands with glee, too excited to wonder why he seemed so knowledgeable on this subject. The quadruplets and the less inspired had all punched out cookies from the pre-made shapes, dumped some glitter on them, and produced the first tray to go in the oven. As Quentin put this first batch in, he looked over at Solange. She stared at him and began licking butter off her fingers very slowly. Fuck! He'd come perilously close to burning his arm on the oven rack.
Not getting angry, are you?
She cooed. No, I am not.
Oh, well, it's only 9 after.
She smiled and bent over again to pick up some purposefully dropped object. The miniskirt did not hide her black lace-covered ass, nor the black silk thong she wore beneath it.
I say, you've knocked over the yellow food coloring onto my Christmas tree, shouted Sir Richard.
He enjoyed the cookie making as much as any of the children and took it quite seriously.
Oh, I love yellow,
shouted Kenny happily.
You love that. That wacky tobacco,
bellowed Richard.
Quentin, get over here and make these delinquents behave themselves.
Kenny, you really don't want me to come over there.
Kenny really didn't.
Sorry,
he piped up.
How can you even walk in those fuck-me shoes?
Scowled Quentin at Solange. She started laughing.
Well, they are rather uncomfortable. Here, help me take them off.
She put out her hand and steadied herself on his arm as she bent over and began unstrapping the shoes.
If you don't mind, that is,
she added breathlessly.
Oh, why would I mind, you bloody tease, he barked.
This really angered Solange. She would certainly admit she was being a tease, but there was no call for him to swear at her. And she pulled him down closer to her and whispered in his ear.
Why are you so bothered by it? Are you wanting to...
She added with a suggestion that was rather in line with the Jism Queen's proposition.
Now you have fucking gone too far, he shouted.
Everyone at the table became immediately silent and looked at them with interest. Solange glanced at the clock.
1:14.
She smiled at him sweetly and turned away. Quentin gave her a murderous look behind her back.
Don't mess with Mum! You think you're the scary one. She always gets even,
Rosie called out to him cheerfully. This made him even angrier. He snatched up the bowl of flour and dumped it over Solange's head. She was immediately coated in white from head to toe and began spluttering. Screams of laughter erupted from the table.
Uncle Quentin! Uncle Quentin, you're not following the rules!
Screeched Timothy delightedly.
Ah, fuck the rules, replied Quentin irritably.
This pronouncement was met with a great roar of approval. Balls of cookie dough immediately began sailing across the table in all directions. Sprinkles, chocolate morsels, and bits of icing were flung helter-skelter.
Stop it, Jamie!
Jamie couldn't resist pelting his sister with an enormous glob of blue icing, which slid down her nose and onto the table.
Shut off! You're on me, last bloody nerve,
shouted Victor to Elizabeth and dumped a bowl of white icing on her head.
Oh, I'll kill you, you!
Elizabeth shrieked and shoved him up against the wall. The white icing on her black hair had given her a rather skunk-like appearance.
I say, Caroline, whatever has gone into you?
Sir Richard was aghast at Lady Fanshawe, as Lady Fanshawe, quite overcome by the general rebellion, had poured red food color on his head and began shrieking with laughter.
Don't ruin my cookie!
Rosie was leaning protectively over her Hogwarts cookie, which did indeed look rather impressive.
Get away from my husband, you slut!
The normally quietly sulking Loretta had come to life and sprung up from her chair at Solange, hurling three cookies she had made at her head. Solange, having brushed enough flour off her face to be able to see, was quite ignoring her. She was intent on pelting Quentin with eggs and sticks of butter, and now she was the one who was shouting.
My hair's ruined! I'm going to have to wash it before tree trimming!
The louder she shouted, the more amused he looked. She picked up one of her shoes and began smacking him on the chest with it.
Our cookies are burning!
Screeched the quadruplets, and sure enough, the smell of smoke began wafting through the air.
Sorry, said Quentin hastily. He took pride in doing a good job with the ovens, and now the children's cookies were indeed burnt to a crisp.
The four of them rushed over and all began bawling.
Now, none of that. You can make some more.
He quickly tossed them out of sight, feeling rather badly. The dark-haired little girl looked particularly woebegone.
I made a really good one, Uncle Quentin, and now it's ruined,
she sobbed. The quadruplets called him this because Timothy did. They reasoned this was what children were supposed to call him, and he had never corrected them.
I'm sorry. He could never remember their names. Look, I'll help you make another one. What do you want it to look like?
A pony! I made a pony!
Well, we'll make you an excellent pony. Come here.
He took her by the hand and they went back to the table. Solange stared after him and suddenly felt rather woebegone herself. Resolutely, she went back to making dough. Those that were still concentrating on cookie making were clamoring for more. A couple of hours later, the melee seemed to have settled down, although nearly everyone had remnants of dough or icing somewhere on their person. No one looked quite as badly as Solange, who was coated in flour from head to foot, and Quentin, who had at least six eggs smashed in his hair and butter dripping down his collar.
Mom, look!
Rosie and William came over and showed her the Hogwarts cookie. It had indeed turned out to be outstanding.
Do you think I'll win this year? You made that, Rosie.
Well, you needn't sound so astonished, Rosie sulked.
It's lovely, darling. And yes, I'd say you have an excellent chance of winning. Although I haven't seen any of the rest, you should ask Quentin. He's been putting them all in.
Quentin came over and took a look.
Definitely the best of the lot, he proclaimed, and Rosie beamed.
Solange announced she was worn out with making dough. They had over 300 cookies, and everyone should start cleaning up.
Want to come take a shower with me? Quentin grinned at her. She tried to scowl and failed.
Oh, no. Just you wait until Park sees you. You're really going to get it.
She began giggling. This was Quentin's valet, who had been with him his entire life. She knew he was the only person who bossed him and got away with it.
God, you're right. He groaned. His egg-encrusted wavy black hair was stuck up in many directions. Oh, and by the way, he stared at her very seriously. If you ever act like this again, I will do exactly what you suggested.
Is that a promise or a threat?
Both.
Solange knew he meant it. He had an almost sinister glitter in his gaze.
Well, I suppose that's fair,
she replied equably. Rosie bustled up behind them.
What are you staring at each other for?
Really, she thought, her mother had just gotten rid of one unsatisfactory boyfriend.
Oh, we're just having fun, Quentin replied very casually.
Fun? You?
For God's sake, don't start up with that again. I can have fun, you know.
Please.
Victor!
This was most unexpected. Victor looked startled, but got up and weaved his way over to where they were standing.
What? God, you look like bloody hell, mate.
Rosie thinks I'm the dullest person on earth. Perhaps you could enlighten her a bit.
Well, it used to be quite a bit of fun, Rosie. A long time ago, before you were born. I was bloody glad when you started hanging around the house. Remember the nights at the lounge, Quentin?
Victor and Quentin started laughing. Solange rolled her eyes, and the others at the table stared in their direction. It seemed quite odd for Victor and Quentin to be chatting.
Well, it was this pub, see, his dad and I used to go to.
Rosie scowled when he used the word dad, but did not correct him.
Thanks a lot, you traitor, shouted Henry, who had noticed it himself. And one night, we were there, and this bloke starts hitting this girl, see?
Victor's Cockney accent always became more pronounced when he was away from Elizabeth, who would pounce on him immediately over it, or if he was talking about something that had happened a long time ago.
So, your dad and I'd jump up and get in a fight with him. I guess I'd drop my cigarette, or
My name is Quinn, and anyway, the curtains caught on fire, and then
he began laughing so hard he had to lean over the counter.
We burned the fucker down, finished Quentin.
They both seemed to find this quite hilarious.
You're lucky you didn't get him sent to jail, Solange snapped.
She obviously remembered this incident well.
Well, they never caught us, see? We waited till everyone was asleep borrow Richard's car and ride around and get in trouble and pick up girls and, well, we had a bloody lot of fun. He's stolen all that mooning over your mother.
Oh, be quiet, Victor. She doesn't want to hear about all that.
Solange interjected immediately.
Yes, I do. So the two of you are actually friends?
This seemed unfathomable to Rosie. Quentin and Victor actually smiled at each other.
Of course we were, Rosie. Gee, how awfully grouchy. He kept nagging me all the time about drinking too much.
And I was wrong. Quentin looked at him dispassionately. But Rosie thought she heard a tone of sadness in his voice. Victor sighed.
No, I guess you weren't. Too late now, though.
He ambled back to the table and flopped down in time for Elizabeth to begin berating him again. Rosie scowled. Ever since she'd had the talk with Quentin in Chicago, her preconceived notions of him kept getting ruined. This irritated her quite a bit. She stomped off with her cookie.
Tree trimming is at 7 o'clock. And everyone is expected to actually help trim the tree,
Quentin announced to the group. There were a few moans of dissent, but not many.
I'll have the cook announce the winner of the cookie contest then.
He strode off out of the room in his usual purposeful fashion, irritating Solange when he did not so much as give her a backward glance.
Good Lord! Whatever have you gotten into?
As expected, Parks was most displeased when Quentin returned to his rooms. He was an elderly gentleman of impeccably polished appearance who had once worked at the Royal Palace, although he had been with Quentin since he was 3, originally as his tutor and then later as his valet when Quentin found he couldn't stand to part with him. He still maintained his austere and very proper appearance. This did not, however, keep him from saying exactly what was on his mind.
Cookie baking, Parks. Run me a bath, will you?
A bath? I say you need a hose. How did you get all that egg in your hair?
Bit of a food fight.
And aren't you the one that's supposed to keep order down there?
Oh, sod off,
mumbled Quentin, who had been thinking the same thing himself. Parks peered at him intently.
You've been acting rather oddly since that trip to Chicago.
Now you're a bloody psychiatrist.
The two of them had been going on like this for years.
Well, I can see what's in front of my eyes,
he sniffed haughtily.
Don't think I don't know you. Better be careful.
Careful about what? What the hell are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's none of your damn business.
Oh, it certainly is. Who's the one that had to fight you for that rifle when you broke it off with her and decided to do yourself in?
I was just a kid and I was drunk. I wouldn't do anything stupid like that now. Bloody nice of you to bring it up,
he glared at him. Park's expression softened.
I just worry about you, that's all. You know I was always fond of Miss Solange. There's nothing that would make me happier than...
Well, don't even say it. It's never going to happen. Now, will you run me my...